tempt your palate and to make the rounds on the town in a maximum limousine. You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene. Executive Chef Fred Genovese and his guests will cook and saute. They share their food and they share their recipes. Kevin Jenkins, he's a fat man, jumping in on the pots and pans. So don't touch that dial if you please. Chef and the Fat Man, Chef and the Fat Man. Why should you ever trust a cook that isn't portly? You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene.
Oh, my friends, oh, man. I'm telling you, Chef Red, already we've tried the Portuguese pork and clams, which, you know, what really makes that, I think, recipe so good is it's so easy, and you cook it right on top of your stove.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to spend a lot of time. You don't have to spend a lot of effort. And yet, the flavors are amazing.
As good as that is, I hate to tell you, I just found the missing ingredient.
What? Ooh.
Some masala peppers. I forgot Mike had given me these. And I was like, ooh, it's called for cayenne. And cayenne will be in the recipe. And I totally forgot, but we'll just mix this in a little bit now.
And you know, it won't make it because it'll blend in just fine.
It'll blend in just fine. So, yeah, and I found these little clams. I'm like, you know, I like those. There's some big barbecue clams that we'd had. And, yeah.
Now, see, what I would do, of course, always to simplify it and cut
out
the work.
Cooker.
No, what I would do is I would take that dish, settle down about my rice. Don't
just
my rice cooker.
Just saying.
What I would do is I would get rid of the clams, get rid of the shells, just throw clams in there.
Right.
Without the shells.
Well, make it and a $50
then you don't
dish.
Then you don't have to mess with it. Then you can just take a bunch of it, pile it into a big holdo bowl, and just start wolfing it down. And
you know, it's funny because the French toast casseroles come out, and two people here have said, oh, I just want a little bite. And they took a little fork bite. Now all of a sudden, half the dish is gone. Good.
And very easy. That's the beauty part of it. Chef and the Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs, we make everything easy. Very, very easy. Spend little time in the kitchen, but have a wow factor of
10.
Each and every time someone tastes your cooking that you've done from Chef and the Fat Man, they'll say,
wow!
At least 10 times.
There you go. So.
Well, you're not helping much on the French toast either.
Go for burger.
A little maple throat would have been good.
And the bacon would work on there.
Bacon would work really well on that.
Oh, man.
So
but
anyway.
That's having fun, Chef Red.
That's it. So let's carry on because we got to get this cornbread going.
All right.
So, large tomato. Plum tomato. Pick a tomato. I don't care.
Are there any good tomatoes this time of year?
No,
not really.
No. There's a few coming out of Florida, but not so much. I can't wait to my garden. There's nothing. And you know.
Yep.
Not that you're a gardener, but a fresh of weeds.
Yes.
Coming out of the garden, there's nothing better than a tomato off the vine. It's just, you can sit there, a little salt. And eat. Yeah, it does. We have one right on the deck that has grape tomatoes. That's what we eat to go to get the other tomatoes. Oh, yeah, we have basket, and last time, good Lord, it was cucumbers last year. The year before that, it was zucchini and squash. Hopefully, it'll be tomatoes.
I have rows and rows of tomatoes at the farmer's market.
There you go.
And you know what? I don't have to weed. I don't have to fight the insects. I don't have to fight the squirrels, the rodents.
I guess that's
the charm.
That's half the fun.
Yeah.
Just like fishing.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
No. Fishing is a religion.
I was fishing a religion.
Because Christ was a fisherman.
Oh, you know what?
You know what? He was.
You and I are so far removed from church, it's not even funny.
That's not true. I am one of the finest Christmas Catholics you'll ever meet.
See, I'm one up on you. I'm Christmas and Easter.
Wow.
I'm part of that CE crowd, as my mom calls it.
Well,
so I'm going to
CE
church.
CE crowd.
Mm-hmm. I don't know which one, but I'm going. But anyway, so tomatoes are in here.
Yep.
Using a good cast iron skillet. This one's one of, again, it's, as Mike said, it's over 100 years old. It's been in the oven preheating. We've always talked about that. Preheat it. And then we added some butter in there to melt on the bottom because we're also going to use that butter in with our other two dishes in our wet mixture. In the wet mixture, we've got eggs, milk, plain yogurt. And I used a Greek yogurt because that's what I happen to have. If you're going to use another yogurt and you're thinking about it, let's get that whey drained out of the whey. So put it in a strainer, put it in a coffee filter, dump your
whey,
and let it drain out. Because you'll realize how much liquid is really in, lack of a better word, American yogurt. Whereas the Greek yogurt's got a lot less whey. It's a lot heavier, a lot firmer. Not quite, I don't think, as acidic as the other one. So, we're going to do that. And then in our dry ingredients, we've got basil, oregano, baking powder, baking soda, sugar, salt, cornmeal, Parmesan cheese, and flour. So you never combine the two, one or the other. You have a wet ingredient, which we're beating up the eggs and the yogurt. And now we've got the dry ingredients we've incorporated together. So now what we're going to do is we're going to add the wicked to the dry, or the liquid to the dry, if I didn't have that speech impediment. So, and we're going to briefly whip this together, and we're not going to overbeat it. But I think this, Mike, looking at it with the way the wet ingredients were, we're going to have a nice, light, fluffy cornbread.
I hope so, because I hope it holds the tomatoes up.
I think it will, and I'm not going
to... Instead of sinking to the bottom.
Yeah,
that's what I was considering that.
It's thickening up pretty nice. And again, the tomatoes, once you get them out, dice them up, and you'll be good to go. This almost looks a little too dry, wouldn't you say, Mike? A little too dry?
Should be pourable.
Should be pourable.
Should be pourable.
That's not pourable. That's deplorable. So what we're going to do is we're going to add a little bit of water. How about that? Yes, everything was measured. Thank you to the engineer trying to keep us on time, but I'm going to add a little bit of water at the top. A little bit at a time. This is getting a little nicer. You know what? You could add a little bit more milk, which I think I will do. So now we're just going to incorporate this, and this will just get a little bit nicer and nicer and nicer. And it's only going to incorporate so much. We'll get all this mixed together. And then we've got that pan in there heating up. Excuse me. Have to get the pan out. So that pan's been in here with the butter on the bottom. We're going to make sure that stays on there.
You know, one time you put cornmeal on the bottom of a couple of those that we've done other places?
I have.
I can't get that to work right.
I did it because the recipe called for it, but I ended up not being a big fan. Now, we've talked about this before. But when you put cornbread in, you need to ladle it in little by little. So that way it doesn't disperse the oil at the bottom. And actually what I'm going to do, what temp are we at on that oil, Mike?
We're only at 250.
Okay. Turn the heat up a little bit on that.
Is it off the bottom?
Yes, it's off the bottom.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that in a minute. But let's go ahead and add a little bit of this batter to the bottom.
Fred, Kevin's over here playing Angry Birds.
No, what it is I had to prove that I made a mistake because I know it's impossible.
Yeah,
but I just prove it.
We know it's impossible.
It's the second time I've made a mistake. I announced that today was National Truffle Day.
And?
It's tomorrow.
I lied.
Oh, no. When is it?
I don't even know now. Don't care because today is actually, and this falls right into what you talked about earlier in the show, Papa.
National Restaurant Day?
National Roast Leg of Lamb Day.
Oh, my goodness. What a perfect day to have leftovers.
Absolutely, and we shall, because Mike brought me a piece, and that's what we're having for dinner tonight. So I've got the cornbread in there. I'm going to take these tomatoes, speckle them across the top. Some of them are bigger than others. They'll float in. Some will sit at the top. Again, dice it as big or as small as you like, but make sure you have plenty of tomatoes. So, dry towel.
Let me ask you this. Too many tomatoes could be almost a problem, could it not?
Yeah.
Because they're going to impart some liquid anyway.
They're going to impart a little bit of liquid anyway, but the other thing is, too, that you want to know that it's tomatoes in there, but you don't want it to be solely about that. You've got other herbs and such in there.
As we like to say at Bobby G's with our pizza, we teach our pizza cooks when they're making pizzas, you want to taste every ingredient in every bite.
Yep.
That's a good way to do it. That gives you an idea of how much to put in there so that you get a taste of every ingredient in every bite.
So going to that, do you guys have a you've got standardized recipes, of course.
Right.
For your pepperonis,
mm-hmm.
are you on a count or are you on coverage?
We're on, well, I call it, I created a system for our new pizza cooks.
Okay.
It's called Star, Clock, Circle. And star means when you pour the sauce in the middle of the pie, you make a star out of it and then start swirling. It makes it more consistent, more even, gets out to the edge. Because we're Chicago Thin and Crispy, which means you go all the way out to the edge.
Right.
The clock is when you're putting the big chunks of sausage, because we have pinched sausage, which is a hand-pinched big chunk sausage out of Chicago, out of Fontanini's. And you take it and you put it in a clock pattern all the way around, 12, 14, 16, which is, you know, 4, 6, 8 right. on the outside, because we want, and then you fill in from there. And then circle is you take your pepperonis touching all the way on the outside in the circle, then you fill them in circle, 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 finish. So they would come out to a count if you counted them,
right.
and but they circle it, and that way they know that they have enough pepperoni every time. And we put, unlike most places that put the pepperoni under the cheese, we actually use a very high, thick, very good quality pepperoni. We put it on top and cook it so that the cheese is under the pepperonis. So it really makes for a tremendous, which is a very typical Chicago thing.
True. True. And pizza is phenomenal. And there was a, and I know I'm going to, I almost shouldn't even bring this up. I almost know better than to do this, but I'm going to anyway.
I knew you would, but why don't you wait? Because okay. you're just wanting to just cause some angst and discontent.
No.
Yes.
It's not even me.
When we come back, we're going to find out what kind of hate and discontent Chef Fred can mix up. Papa's ready to jump in with
oh,
both
I am.
Feet.
I'm ready.
And it's going to be talking about pizza, no doubt. It's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about the number one pizza in the world. It's not come out of New York. It's Chicago Thin and Crispy.
New York.
Squares.
New York.
When we come back, more food, more fun, and more recipes from Chef Fred. We are? I doubt it, because we're at the Cook's Warehouse in Ansley Mall location. It's right off of Piedmont. You can't miss it. If you know anything about culinary, or even if you don't, just go online and find out which Cook's Warehouse is near you. I know they're getting ready to open one in Marietta, which is going to be very nice.
Yes.
Very, very nice having one so close to home. But anyway,
well, for
my
some
friend,
of us.
Yeah. That's right. Well, someday you'll get one out in Gwinnett County.
I'm not worried about that. This is a great location.
Decatur's a good location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a fine location. All right, so anyway, this is not coming from me, but I read this article.
Yes.
Based on a group from these cities. And the number two city for pizza in the country was
number
Chicago.
Two?
Number two, Chicago. Yeah. Number one, New York.
You know why? Because that's all people get. Unless you, I mean, if you go to Papa John's, if you go
no,
to...
Please, don't even... That'd be like saying Bobby G's and Papa John's or Domino's are all the same. They're not even close. Bobby G smokes them all.
I know, but see, here's the problem. When you talk New York-style pizza, that is the number one pizza that most people eat when they get commercial mm-hmm. chain restaurant pizzas.
I agree.
It's that floppy, doughy, crust on the edge pizza.
Not all of them. Not
most of them. I didn't say all of them.
You know, I mean,
most of them.
Yeah.
Very few take it all the way out to the edge. Very few do thin all the way out to the edge, and only one does thin out to the edge and cut into squares.
And served in a bag.
And served in a bag. That's right.
Which I'll get the bag thing.
Yeah, we serve in a bag. What you do is you pop an air bubble in it, and it creates a dome over the top, and it's an art form. You take the bag, you put the pizza in, you take it, pop, and it puts a big air bubble in it, you staple it, and that way the cheese doesn't stick to the top of the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't get it by the slice.
Yes, you can.
Oh, you get it by the square.
Yeah. Oh, you can.
No, we get it. We actually make a. We take a 14-inch, cut it into quarters, and so you get a slice that way. So you get one quarter of a 14-inch pizza for a slice.
No, my Catholic math says 14 divided by 4, 3, right?
And change, yeah.
Doing and change. Make it simple. Just buy a whole pizza. Wait, you looking at me wrong?
Change.
14 divided by 4. Three
yeah,
times four.
Well, I understand that. But I,
we both had the same Catholic school education.
I know, but see, when you take... Yeah, never mind. I don't want to explain
just
it.
Just buy a whole pizza.
It'll, yeah, just buy the whole thing. But anyway, if you don't want the whole thing, you can get a slice. It's a big slice. People go, oh, I'll take two slices. Oh, you need half of 14-inch pizza? I couldn't possibly eat that.
You just,
we just order two slices of one quarter of a 14-inch. Well, it's only two slices.
Okay.
All righty, then.
I had a lady tell me the other day, because we had gallon tea on sale. She got 2 half gallons. I said, ma'am, the gallon's on sale. Not the same size. Yes, ma'am. Can't fix stupid. I've agreed. That's my new phrase. Can't fix stupid. So let it go. All right. So we got the cornbread in there.
Yep.
And again, recipe's going to be in there. And you know what? Let's say you're not big on tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have a timer on the cornbread?
You walked away. Let me go 17 minutes and 36 seconds now.
You asked for it. That's what you're going to get.
That's right. Well, it's because rules don't apply to him, so I figured we're close. Let's say you're not big on tomatoes. Tomatoes give me heartburn. How about some mushrooms? Mushrooms. Cornbread doesn't always have to be sweet.
No, it can be savory.
Instead of Parmesan cheese, let's go maybe with a locatelli, but then back off on the salt.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's go with a horseradish cheddar.
See, I think that would be great.
It'd be very
good.
And
you know what I would do? I would add some sugar to it. So you have a sweet and hot. I think that would be interesting.
And, you know, again, the mushroom thing, very, very simple. Some caramelized onions throughout. I don't know that I'd put bacon in this one because of the herbs and such.
Yeah, not in this particular recipe. But bacon and cornbread I've had many times and cooked in bacon grease.
We talk about our markets, our Asian markets. Mm-hmm. In the Asian market, you got to look for it a little bit. They sell an 8-ounce jar of pre-fried onions. That I keep in my pantry.
Really?
Oh.
Better
than
turkeys?
What an addition. What an addition. Oh, sad. No, not like that at all. They're not battered. They're just fried. And
wow.
Put it in a jar.
Where did
they
I go?
Forever.
Durkee's does that.
Yeah, but those are battered and fried.
Yeah.
We went somewhere and ordered onion rings. And there was this huge bowl of really, really thin sliced onion rings. Where did we go? Anyway, we went, and I was like, yeah, we'll get an order of onion rings. I forgot there was this huge mound, and they're super thinly, like mandolin-shaved onions, and just piled up. Yeah, I forgot. Not a fan.
No, I like a big, batter-dipped.
Beer-batter-dipped.
Beer-batter-dipped onion ring. Man, when you get those done that way, it's awesome.
410. Woo! Back down. Too grease is too hot. All right, so speaking of grease, and what we're setting up for is the shrimp fried balls, or fried shrimp balls.
Yes.
Be careful with the grease. Very, very careful. This is probably one of the worst things that can happen is A, a grease burn, and B, a grease fire. Make sure your thermometer stays off the bottom.
So we shouldn't just pour water in there to cool it down?
That's a thought. Kevin and I are going outside. You do that and let us know how it comes out for you. Yeah, you want the grease to be around 340 to 355 max. We're at 410, so we're going to turn the heat down considerably, let it cool down. Do not put a lid on hot grease. That thing will blow your hand off and hurt anybody in the vicinity. This is not one for the kids.
Yes.
No, exactly
this is
right.
Not one for the kids. All right. So let's. What?
Army.
Same thing. Kids, Karen, all starts with a K. Same age. Saying.
Nah. Different kind of kid.
That's true. Settle down there, Maxwell. But some fried pork in that grease would be quite delicious.
Yes.
All right, so in the food processor, we've got bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And we got shrimp. We need to create this into a ball.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful KitchenAid. So we're going to pulse this up.
You know, there are a lot of them out there. But I'll tell you, you just cannot, for the standard, you got to have a KitchenAid. I just love the KitchenAid.
KitchenAid, I like the bowl. I like the power of the motor. It's just phenomenal. To this, we're going to add some onion. You can use green onion. You can use regular onion. I don't care.
Now you can use
Vidalia
onions.
Vidalias are out.
Got my first Vidalias the other day. Took them home. Add a little Italian dressing. Add some tomatoes and raw Vidalia onions. Mix it all up, and that's your salad, baby. And it doesn't get any better than that. Sweet.
Eat them like an apple.
Yeah? Good call. I took ours. Took a small melon baller. Poured out the middle. Do some Worcestershire, some butter, wrapped them in foil, throw them on the egg with the corn. Had those like a side. Awesome.
Yeah. Vidalia onions are absolutely amazing.
A little bit of white wine, salt, pepper, egg yolk. Not egg entirely. White. We just want the yolk. Sorry, we want just the white, not the yolk.
Oh, so no yolk.
No yolk. I'm not yolking around.
All right.
All right. So.
Glad you clarified
that. Spatula, please.
Yes.
Thank you. So, we put everything in there, and it's all nice and stuck now.
Boy, it is.
It is stuck in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
It didn't get froze. Just set up from the cornstarch, and that's going to help be our binder.
Nice.
To make these. You could do this with crawfish.
You could do it with boudin.
You could do this with boudin. You could do this with lobster.
The boudin balls at this little restaurant.
Mackerel.
Mackerel.
Pompano.
Yep.
But shrimp. That's what we're doing.
I mean, shrimp, there are just so many things you can do with shrimp that you just, there is no dish I've ever had with shrimp that I have not liked.
Oh, I have.
Really?
I had a fried shrimp dish that was absolutely disgusting.
What'd they do?
They
the batter?
Were overfried.
Oh, well.
And chewy as all get out. Okay, so we turn the heat on, the oil off, just because Mike said so. Okay. And the nice thing, too, is this is the same pot that we did the pork in.
Yep.
Took the pork out, cleaned it, made sure it was really, really dry. So, yeah, you can fry in the La Crusade. You can finish it in the oven. Not promoting La Crusade because they're a sponsor, because they're not. They're just extremely well built.
Yeah. And there are other enameled cast iron pans.
Yep.
I have two others that are another manufacturer that have horrible cracks in them. And the ones that I have that are 15 or 20 years old that are Le Creuset, they had gone like new, you know? I mean, they're just really
good. We use them all the time for all sorts of things. I've even put them on the egg, and it gets that char black mark on it. But you know what?
Yeah,
little barkeeper's friend.
Yeah. Yep.
Comes right out. Oh, yeah. Notre Dame's playing. Not yet. But speaking of football.
Yes.
Good draft by Bears and Saints.
Bears got a very good, and did you hear the story about how they almost blew it? There's still a lot of controversy over that.
Uh-uh.
What happens is when teams agree to swap,
mm-hmm.
or trade up or trade down, they both have to call the league's
office
table to verify.
Yep.
Well, I think it was Cleveland, and the Bears traded, and the Bears forgot to call, so the trade went through. And they called, the Bears called the player that they had traded up to get. They called him and said, "You're a Bear." And the league said, "No, they're not. It's not." Because Jerry D'Angelo from the Chicago Bears forgot to call. And he said, "Yeah, it was my bad." Well, what happened was the player they traded up for, since the trade was null and void, they went back to their location two places down, and the player ended up being there two places down.
Wow.
All kinds of interesting things here on Chef and the Fat Man. More than just food. It is fun. It is interesting. And our timer is having, I think she tested the wine a little bit today, Fred, before we got going. But anyway, what happened is, so the trade was null and void. They wanted to pick 27th. And by 29th, the player they wanted to pick was still available. They didn't think he would be. So they got him anyway without the trade. And now Cleveland's claiming that they should get that fourth-round draft pick that they were promised because the Bears blew it. That's not their fault.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was very interesting. But, no, it was a great draft for the Saints. Very good. I'll tell you who else scored really big, Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit,
they're building.
Huge with their defense.
They're building.
Sue and Fairley. Whoo! Anyway, my friends, when we come back, we're going to find out about Chef Fred and his shrimp balls as the oil cools down. We've got more food, more fun, more celebration of the good life. It's Chef and a Fat Man live at the Cook's Warehouse in Annesley Mall. We're going to talk a little bit about what's here. Oh, my friends. Man, I'm telling you, you listen to this show, we're just so full of it when it comes to information, not only for culinary, but we told you about the draft, what happened to the Chicago Bears. I mean, that's always popular dinner time conversation.
Whatever.
We talked about tomatoes.
Yep.
We talked about alternatives to the recipes that we have. Some things you can add, like to your French toast, the maple bacon over the top.
Well, maple syrup, honey.
I'm telling you, we have given so much information out today. It is absolutely unbelievable, and we're still not finished.
Nope.
Now, Chef Red, you've got your cornbread. Now, how do you know when your cornbread's ready?
I ask it.
You know, that really scares me, but I believe it.
It's true. You talk. You've seen Dr. Doolittle. You talk to the animals?
My wife talks to the animals. She doesn't talk to the cornbread.
But you talk to your food. You're like, come on. You're almost there.
Do you? Dear God, tell me you use the toothpick method.
No. Touch method. No. You can set that up and you can feel around that it's not jiggly on the inside.
But you can't feel it in the middle.
Oh, yes, I can.
The finger method. Not highly recommended. Now, of course, you put a little oil on the bottom, so it should flip right out.
That's not going to work, Mike. No, what I was going to do was...
This is going to be interesting, my friend. Drum roll.
The power of a great old cast iron skillet. That's pretty cornbread, isn't it? There you go. You know, sometimes it just works.
A month ago,
we've tweaked it back and forth. But this recipe, folks, for the cornbread works. But I think the honest truth is, we'll see how it looks inside in a minute after it cools off. But I think more importantly, you've got to have a good cast iron pan. I honestly don't believe that in Corningware, Pyrex, whatever baking dish, you've got to have something that's heavy, that stays hot. You know,
and consistent. There's nothing as consistent as a good cast iron pan for even heat distribution. All the way up the sides, the bottom.
Yeah, because I mean, it's yeah.
I was asking Fred last night. Somebody asked me to cook hot dogs for 300 people this next month.
Oh, your hot dog story?
You might as well use the microphone. That way we can hear it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Somebody is.
Somebody asked me to cook hot dogs for 300 people yesterday. For a small event next month.
Where do you get... You know, I have gone through my whole life, and no one has said, hey, listen, Mike, can you throw something together for 60 people real quick, 300 hot dogs real quick? What kind of people do you know?
Moochers?
Yeah.
In-laws.
Leeches.
No.
Well, in-laws. But how many in-laws come up to their in-laws and say, hey, listen, if you're not doing anything tomorrow,
Mike,
if you're not doing anything tomorrow, Mike, how about whipping up 300 hot dogs?
Yeah. Do you know how to cook lamb? Anyway, so they said, I want to do this. I knew you could figure it out. How are we going to do this? We're going to stage it. We're going to cook them first. We're going to put it on the grill first. We're going to steam them. Figure it out how we can do this. So
real easy. Boil it.
Yeah, I offered to do that. It didn't hit well. I think the flyer they already handed out said grilled.
Grilled 300 hot dogs. Well, I hope they got the manpower to do it while you sat back with a nice cold Bud Light.
The day before, put it in hotel pans, foil cover, take it to the place, and steam them back hot.
There you go.
I think that's what we agreed on.
Yeah,
last night.
That makes the most sense.
And the biggest problem, as we've known from times past, is the condiment station is going to
be choked up everything.
So,
now, what you can do to maybe make that work is you put. Oh, if you have a nice budget, I would get like 10 mustards, 10 ketchups of those cheap plastic 99-cent bottles, fill them up with generic toppings, and let them rock. Now, of course, if you're in Chicago, you would never use ketchup on a hot dog.
Yes.
It's mustard, onions, but you chop a bunch of onions, you put them out in a bunch of bowls. Yes. That's the only way you can really do it.
Yeah, and somebody is supplying relish, and I think I have $325 for it.
For the whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not going to use
get
all
chicken
beef
dogs.
Hot dog, yeah. Just get the
Walt,
20 dogs for
Walmart.
A buck.
Yeah.
Chicken lips and.
Dump truck full of hot dogs right here in this trailer.
That's right.
Anyway, so we're going to do that. It's for Grayson, one of the Grayson preschool. I mean, Grayson second grader. So,
they don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Please.
So it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's never fun, though. I don't care what you say. It's never fun to cook for 325 people.
Well, they showed me a picture of the grill that they had in mind. It's one of those grills from the park. It's like 14 by 24. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the Lord's name do you think that we're going to be able to keep up with this?
Well, like Mike and I were talking about, the bottleneck's not the dogs. It's condiments.
Condiments, yeah.
So, and we already have people
half dozen stations, four or five bottles at each station. It is. But, you know, one of the great things about cooking for the masses, though, Papa, and you've done it much more than I have, but, you know, I find that you can never get, especially if you're going for something nicer, the more people, the harder it is to get the consistency and the quality and the just the overall taste that you get for a party of six as a compared to a party of 100.
I think you're absolutely right. And I haven't cooked for parties of 100 for a long while. Only a couple times in my life. But I'm fortunate in our extended family that we feed 6 to 10 times, 12 times a year.
So we'll be back to Mike in a minute.
Yeah,
Mike's battery died. We thought as radiant as he'd be, he'd be able to carry on.
But you know, Chef Fred, going back to what Pop and I were talking about, it really is much more difficult to get that same consistency and quality for 100 than it is for six. That's why I prefer to cook for four.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, you know, even at the house, like for Easter dinner, 8, we could have gone 10, no problem. But at that point...
Boy, I like that number. I like 10, 12, 14,
see,
up to 30.
Well, that's because you've got a table big enough for, you know...
Oh, I'm sure.
Christ and his 12 disciples plus a couple buddies.
Yeah.
And I don't. I mean, ours is set at 8. So, I mean, we'd had to break out a couple other chairs. Everybody's a little more scrunched. So I like keep mine like 8. I'm good at 8.
I like 2, my wife and I. You know what?
Well, I
the
like
food's
that.
Always consistent.
But I would really like 4 or 6. I mean, honestly, let's cook a little bit larger. So,
but one of the things that you always have to plan for, especially when you're cooking for that kind of volume, understand that not necessarily do the ingredients. Let's say you have a dish that that says serves 4. Just because you double the ingredients across the board does not mean it's going to taste just as good.
Exactly.
You know, you have to know your ingredients. You have to know what's going on. You really have to understand the flavor profiles, too.
Yeah, and you know what? Speaking of 4, which I think is a good number, how about the Blackhawks? Chicago came real close. Didn't think that was going to happen.
But Papa, have you got a guest over there?
I do. I would like to introduce Gina Berry, who is a good friend of mine and one of the teachers here at Cook's Warehouse, and she's just conducted a knife skills class, something that everybody...
It was a huge class. Now we
and
call her Stubby.
Look at all those 10 fingers.
It's amazing what they could do with prosthetics.
And
now,
she was teaching slicing onions like the real chefs do it.
Welcome. Oh, dicing my onions up, yes. Slicing, dicing, and then cutting in rings because it's all different textures and it's all different flavors in the end.
Well, what's really neat is having you join us because you just had a class. And, of course, when you do a class, it's not just a class. It's a hands-on, and you had a buku stuffed, no room available class. Tell us a little bit about the classes that you do and how people can sign up for them.
You know, I teach knife skills here at Cook's Warehouse a lot because I love what I do, and I love to share what I do with other people. And I think if you have a strong learning and a strong knowledge of how to cut things up, then you get to the fun part, which is the cooking. You get to that a lot faster. So if you can properly cut, chop, dice, slice safely and efficiently, you get to the cooking part faster.
And that's a great point. And one of the things that I teach the young guys at the restaurant, you know, you can, and it works in the home too. If you know how to chop onions the way chefs do it, where they cut them in half and then go down the side, and it actually can be as fast and a lot easier and a lot cleaner than breaking out the food processor, throwing the onions and chopping them up, and then having to clean it and break it all down. If you know how to, with the proper skills, you can, like
and
that.
And with the food processor, I find that there's a lot of onion juice that you don't necessarily want all the time.
And inconsistent sizes.
Yep.
Exactly. You want that consistent size, and it's funny because this is just it's a three-hour class, and it's a great class. And I say, you know, it's just cooking class. You got to relax. But let me tell you, I'm going to come around, and if your stuff isn't chopped up right, I'm going to call you out on it. So,
wow.
You know.
Okay, let's say, give us an example of your calling out. Okay, here I am. I am chopping now. Chop. Okay.
You're chopping something up, and then you use the knife blade to scratch things across the cutting board.
Oh, here I go.
Who in the world is doing that, and what are you thinking about?
And not turn with my knives.
Turn your knife over and scrape with the other side, because I have eyes in the back of my head in this cooking class, and I can see what everybody's doing. We have about 15, 16 people in there usually, and I can hear that a mile away when you're scraping
it's
your...
It's like fingernails on a chalkboard.
It's worse. It's just the worst
it's
sound
It's money
ever.
And pain and agony. You're like,
but
no!
I was only thinking of Mary Moore.
Oh, and wanting to get have to go buy another new knife from her, or actually bring your knives in and get them sharpened.
You are sharper than the knife. That's exactly.
Exactly
right.
Well, thanks very much for having me on. I didn't realize y'all were over here, you know, right in the middle of everything, so I didn't want to mean to
Well, tell people if they want to get involved in your class. What do they need to do?
Oh, absolutely. Go online and sign up. Go online and sign up through the website, cookswarehouse.com. They have, you can check the instructor. My name is Gina Berry, so you can check what I'm teaching this quarter. And you just sign up online right there, or you can call the stores, or you can come into the stores. We have stores in Brookhaven. We have right here in Midtown at Ansley, and we have over in Decatur right on Ponce.
And soon, in Marietta.
In what, East Cobb in Marietta up at Merchants Walk Shopping Center.
Right by the
Publix. Do they have one in Athens now?
No.
No.
No Cook's Warehouse in Athens?
No.
That's depressing.
No, and I'll say no again. No. But you know what? They do have a rolling pin up in Athens, so I will say in Athens there's a rolling pin, and I teach up there as well. So there you
Well,
go.
One thing you have to
That's
do, if you take any class, take a knife skills class first, because that'll really help. And no better place than with Chef Gina, and you can do it right here at Ansley Mall, and you can take the class, and you can be edumacated right here at Cook's Warehouse in Ansley Mall. Chef and the Fat Man right back at you. Oh, my friends, I'll tell you, we got to tell you this cooking story real quick. Of course, I'm sure by now you're over the whole wedding nonsense, but there were some pretty funny spoofs. One Don Imus did with Maggie Thatcher spoof where Maggie said that the queen looked like a Pac-Man, the yellow thing, waka, 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 waka. But the one that I thought was very funny, Jay Leno did a spoof, and this is definitely culinary related.
Yeah.
trying to put the ring on Kate. Evidently, it was a little problem. I don't know. I didn't see it. I just saw Leno. And Leno showed what they had edited out on BBC TV. And that is when the ring didn't go on right, the prince reached down, pulled up a can of Pam, sprayed her finger, and it slid right on. Now, he swears that's what happened.
Well, I'm sure if he said it, it must be true.
But anyway, that was... and I hear the cake was supposed to be unreal.
Cake was incredible. Cake was incredible.
I wonder if it was Duncan Hines.
Probably Pillsbury, I'm thinking.
Well,
anyway.
Now it's back to
the
shrimp balls.
Cornbread's out. What we do with the shrimp balls is, you heard we emulsified the shrimp, the bacon, the seasoning, cornstarch.
Quickly run down the recipe again because it's been a little while.
Okay, we took shrimp,
right,
peeled the vein, put them into the food processor with pork fat.
Size doesn't matter.
Either. Bacon. No, because you're going to emulsify it anyway and crumb it up. A little bit of salt. Recipe can call for ketchup. I chose to leave it out. I didn't want it in there. Not that it calls for much. It's just a little bit. But, again, it's my recipe, so I left it out. Then to that, I added some onion, a little bit of white wine, some ginger, a little different flavor there, a little salt, egg white, and cornstarch as a binding agent. Once you get all that done, scoop them out. You can either quenelle them if you want to, which is 2 spoons, kind of oblong, whatever.
Yeah, please.
Big fancy term. People are impressed by it, but whatever. Make them little balls. You can use a little scoop them out, put them in the refrigerator so they set a little bit.
Melon scoopers are nice
for
that. Yeah,
15, 20 minutes, you're good. Once those are done, I just roll them in panko breadcrumbs.
Nice.
So I got the oil. We're fighting this oil. We're at 363 and a half. So
you're fine there. 375,
yeah,
350,
we don't
want
to go over 370. So we're okay then. Once we start putting things in, it's going to cool them off.
Cool down, exactly.
Yeah, cornbread's done. Mike said, oh, it didn't slide right out. So I put it back in there for about 3 or 4 minutes. And it came right out. We've had it on a cooling rack, so we'll have that in a minute.
Let's talk about this frying thing, because this is the number one mistake people make with frying. They want to throw it all in there and fry it up all at once. What they do not realize is that the more you add to the grease, the cooler it's going to get. So if you're going to put it in there, put a lot more in there, and understand that the hotter the grease is, the more it's going to seal and sear and keep that outside crunchy. If you put too much in there, your fries will never get that crunchy. Which is critical.
Well, true. And not only that, though, but if you overload this, you're dropping the temperature down, so it's going to sit in colder grease. It's going to absorb that grease, and it's going to be
nasty.
Greasy.
Yes.
I mean, we've had hush puppies that are done perfect, and we've had hush puppies that you need to wring out before you eat them, and you still end up with a quart of oil coming out of each hush puppy. French fries, the same thing. You know, and the other important thing is, too, when you're coming out of oil, you always, always, always want to make sure that you season it.
Season it immediately. Yeah.
A little salt exactly. is all it needs. What at McDonald's, that's why McDonald's fries are so good. As soon as that oil's hot, and it just kind of lightly melts that salt a little bit.
And they use popcorn salt.
And they use popcorn salt, which is a lot higher salt. So we've got our balls, so we're going to carefully put those in. How do you know when something fried is done?
It comes to the surface.
It floats, exactly. So again, this is an oblong. I've got 8 cups of oil in here, and I'm only going to put about 5 of these in here.
To give you an idea, he started at 363.
5 balls in.
5 balls in. He's now at 352.
Yeah.
That quickly, it dropped 12 degrees.
So we're going to bump the heat up just a smidge, and we're playing with this. Now, if I had a real fryer, it wouldn't be as big of an issue. Playing with this on top, this is an issue. Now, again, we're dealing with raw product in here, and they're starting to float, so we'll turn them a little bit. But it didn't take long. We're only 20, 30 seconds that these started to float.
But understand, even though things float sometimes, especially if they've been in the freezer or if you're cooking something that has been frozen, that floating doesn't necessarily mean it won't be cold in the middle, even though they float.
Or raw.
That's right. So you always want to take one and check it.
Sure, sure. A sample every once in a while.
Well, yeah.
And, as much as possible.
And again, make sure, because then you can kind of go off your timing, set up a timer and say, you know what, we're averaging about 2.5 minutes.
Now, you turned it up a little bit, and in just this few minutes, we are now up to 360.
Okay, so we're going to adjust that back down just a little bit, but not too much, because I don't want it to get too hot, because we'll end up with a black burn outside, yeah. And then in the middle, there'll be absolutely raw dough. Sure. And that's pretty much what the shrimp is. It's a shrimp dough. It's shrimp and bacon. And you got to cook bacon to a really well-done color, as opposed to if this was just shrimp, I wouldn't worry about it so much. You know, it's kind of like sushi a little bit. But we want to fully cook. You could make a quick remoulade sauce to dip these in if you want to.
Oh, very nice.
Even just a plain, good, grainy Pullman mustard would be really, really nice. Now, these are starting to turn GBD. So we're going to keep going on these.
Yeah, this isn't something you just throw it in there and walk away for a few minutes. I'll be back in a minute or two.
You want to stay with it, and you want to keep these turning and such. The other thing, too, is you want to have a paper towel plate lined with several paper towels to help absorb some of that grease. So let's go ahead and take one out, and there goes the thermometer.
I'll get it.
Well, grabbing it up top, you're okay.
Yes.
It's when you don't grab it up top that's the problem. Lucky for me, asbestos hands. All right, so now, I'm going to pull that apart. It's still doughy inside. So we know we've got a couple more minutes left of this. That will be the last one that goes back in. Because if we throw it in now, it's going to contaminate the entire oil. It will contaminate because it'll fry from the inside out.
Didn't we talk one time about the perfect oil in a restaurant? It isn't the first day. It might be the second day. And it's no longer good after about the fifth day.
Depending on how much you fry.
You fry in it.
Exactly. Yeah. We have 4 fryers. 2 of them are set up just for rings and fries.
Right.
The others are set up for appetizers, which is your poppers, your mozzarella sticks and stuff, because it's a different batter, and it changes the oil. But I'll tell you what, once that oil starts to go brown, man, you've got to get rid of it, because if you don't. Now, we strain our oil every single day, and clean it. And strain it once a day. Yeah, because we're not a huge fryer business.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, now, if I were down in Mexico Beach where we did fried seafood, I'd be straining that stuff.
Every 2 or 3 runs.
And the new commercial fryers have a continual filter in them.
Yeah.
They recirculate the oil.
Right, and the fryers we have at work, they tell us when it's time. It's set at 3, so, you know, like hot and spicy wings, they don't have any coating on them at all. And I have a small fryer just for that. But what burns is the hot sauce that it's in.
And the batter will also, some of the batter gets off of the chicken or whatever you're cooking, and if you're doing that kind of thing, and it gets in there, and it really, really, really can, and what you'll really notice the difference is, you cook something for 3 minutes in clean oil or good oil, and then cook it in dark brown oil, the difference is night and day in the color of the product as it comes out.
Yep. And smell.
Burned,
you can smell it starting to burn.
And you can see the smoke starting to rise off the oil. Then you know it's time to change.
Right. So those are done. So it's taken probably another 3 minutes since the first ones. So we're going to hit these with a little bit of salt. And then we're going to take some more. Put those back in there.
And careful.
Now we know. And when we put things in oil, don't drop it from 6 inches ahead. Get it close and then set it in. Gosh, you're going to burn yourself. I'm telling you right now. You are going to burn yourself. You are going to cut yourself if you work in a kitchen. It's going to happen. Things happen. It's
or you can put them in the basket and lower it in there if you want to.
No, you can't. The reason you can't do it with this is because as soon as that oil and that batter mix together, it's going to stick to the mesh, to the thing. So, you know, when you do fries,
it's a different
thing. They're frozen. There's no coating on some; they don't stick. Same thing with the poppers and the others, because it's already frozen around it. These are not frozen, so anything fresh needs to be put in by hand, or you could use tongs, depending. But you know,
or I just take them down there and go doop,
and do what?
Doop with this, you know, with a big ladle. I just take them and just get it real close to the oil and just roll them in.
Sure. Same thing.
Nice.
Because you're sensitive. You don't have the hands. You don't have kitchen hands yet. Here you go. Try that. Looks good. We'll let you be the guinea pig.
He's a shrimp hopper.
That's right. They're hot.
Man, this tastes like chicken.
Must be the bacon. That chicken bacon I'm using.
You know what? I'll tell you. It's very unique because the bacon is so pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. I love bacon.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, if you didn't tell me the shrimp was in it, I wouldn't even know.
Just by the color. Yeah. So, again, you could do this, you know, and just use a little less bacon if you wanted to. But the bacon's kind of what is the emulsification to bring everything together. So.
Well, my friends, as always, we must bring this wonderful culinary trip of a lifetime to an end. And so many people to thank, first of all, to Wendy and to Matthew and to Mary and to everybody here at Cook's Warehouse, Ansley Mall and Cook's Warehouse everywhere. My friends, if you really want to help support a true entrepreneur, a lady who really gets it, come down to Cook's Warehouse and you will really get it too. Why so many people choose Cook's Warehouse. To Executive Chef Fred Genovese, always a great thrill, chef.
I'd say taste that cornbread is phenomenal.
And to the Papa Peppers for helping as he does every time he gets the chance. And also to the person who keeps us on time and in line, Linda Genovese. And to the engineer extraordinaire, she, no matter what happens, she stays right on top of things right up to the very end. The she beast herself, my wife, Karen Jenkins. We like to remind you, as we do each and every week, that the price of freedom
is never free.
And don't forget, my friends, it's coming up on the summer and the holidays. Take time to gather around the egg and make it a real family event. If you don't own an egg, get an egg, because it is
the ultimate cooking experience.
Next couple of weeks, we will be at the Big Green Egg. Come and join us. Get some great grilling tips. Find out some great wild recipes. And who knows? Maybe you too will be an egghead. Or come up and join us in Hiawassee on the weekend of the 20th and 21st, as we're going to be up there with the North Georgia Eggers, and we're going to be joining the Youngbloods and all the eggheads up there.
Pomatinis!
Yeah, pomatinis for everyone on the third floor at our hotel only. Thank you for tuning right here to AM 1160, the talk of the town. God bless everyone. We'll see you next week. Egging it to the max, baby.
Yeah.